Well, during the next half hour of Issues Etc., we're going to be listening to your phone calls and to your comments on our Issues Etc. comment line. What's the number for the comment line again? I promised I would give it to them, and I never remember what it is. How could I forget this? It's 314-505-7825. 314-505-7825. It's our Issues Etc. listener comment line. The way it works is like any other comment line. You can call it any time of day or night, just like the song says. And you can either anonymously or by name leave a comment, critical, praiseworthy. It doesn't make any difference to us. We want to hear from our listeners on our Issues Etc. comment line. It's 314-505-7825. What we're interested in doing is keeping all the lines of communication with our listeners, as many as we have, email, live callers, you name it, letters. Sometimes people even send me letters. It's kind of quaint. We want to keep all those lines of communication open. And since we have the comment line, we want to give you a chance to hear what we're hearing when we log in there and get these comments from you, our listeners. All right, let's start with these come from all over the country, by the way, and that's one of the things that I enjoy about listening to these comments from our listeners, whether it's critical or whether they're correcting something we've had to say or whether they're telling us that we're just doing a good job. It's all appreciated, and I greatly appreciate hearing from listeners all over the place. Let's go to this comment from a listener that was on our Issues Etc. comment line this week. All right, we'll get to our comment line here in just a moment.
My name is Kia Shaoku. I'm a big fan of Issues Etc., and I actually didn't know what to say on the comment line because I'm so much of a fan. I think the function that you guys serve is just, you guys are irreplaceable. I mean, you guys deal with issues, current issues, in a way that makes the listener think and doesn't just kind of sit and just accept, you know, the opinions or ideas that are floating around, you know, in the public forum. But you guys actually think through things and think through them well. And a lot of radio programs promise to help Christians think, or, you know, they're supposed to be for the thinking Christian. And in actuality, they wind up not being. And they actually dumb down a lot of things and resort to just slogans. When in actuality, I feel like you guys really, really do a great job of encouraging thought. And so that's all I have to say. God bless you guys. I hope you guys stay on the air for forever. I'm not a Lutheran, but I am just a really, really great fan. And I find that, you know, although I am a Presbyterian, I really, really find myself in agreement with the way you handle all issues, not just most. I do. Appreciate your ministry. God bless you guys. Bye.
That was Kia in Birmingham, Alabama. Thanks very much for that comment, Kia. She's picking up on one of our tag phrases that we like to use, Issues Etc. Talk Radio for the Thinking Christian. Now, these taglines that we have at the end of the program aren't just there to fill time before we go to a break. They're there to tell our listeners, to clue our listeners in, and to keep us reminded when we produce Issues Etc., what we're here for, what we're really all about. So when you hear Christ-centered, cross-focused, or defending life from beginning to end, or as Kia makes reference to, talk radio for the thinking Christian, we really truly mean that. We're trying to remind you and ourselves of what we're doing here and what makes Issues Etc. unique. Now, the thing I like about thinking Christian is because so much of Christian broadcasting does not require Christians to think at all. In fact, it does their thinking for them. And the one thing we don't want to do around here is what, Jeff? What's our term that we use? We don't want to do it around here.
Ditto heads.
No ditto heads, no cheerleading, no Christian ditto heads. None. We want Christians thinking for themselves.
Did you notice I said, ditto heads?
Yeah. I can't type back to you, no us, like you do to me.
You know, I want to pick up one thing Kia said.
Yeah.
We hear this. You're just preaching to the Lutheran choir.
Oh, yeah. This is the biggest myth. No, it's not the biggest myth, but it might be second or third biggest myth about Issues Etc. You guys are just talking to Lutherans.
Now, a person is either A, ignorant. We know for sure they don't listen to the show. You cannot listen to the show and make that statement.
No, you can't.
And listen to the call.
Not honestly. You can't honestly make that statement. You can lie. Which many do.
So in one case, you might have somebody who just doesn't listen to the show. In another case, you might have somebody listen to the show, and it's a way to just dismiss us, and they're actually an opponent of Issues, etc.
Yeah, and so when they say, you're just talking to Lutherans, let me just clear that up for a second. We wanted for a long time to clear up a lot of myths about Issues, etc. Let me clear this one up since Kia gives us the opportunity. Kia's not a Lutheran. I don't think she plans to be a Lutheran anytime soon, but that's fine. We've got all the time in the world, hopefully. And she finds what we have to say both enlightening, and she agrees with a lot of it. Did you know that the listenership of our local program here in St. Louis is not predominantly Lutheran? Did you know that on our nationally syndicated radio program, I don't even know if we might have a handful, I mean literally a handful of Lutherans listening to that. And I like it that way, because we are not here to talk to, just to talk, to preach to the choir or talk to those Lutherans. We're here to defend the faith and teach the truth for the whole church and beyond. Here's another listener commenting on our Issues, Etc. listener comment line.
Hi, this is Stephen Grace again, calling from the Texas Panhandle. The program this evening I thought was exceptional. I enjoyed it very much. I think the theology is very, very interesting. A weakness in the program, however, and the same held true for last week. I think you've gone 2 weeks without citing a single verse of Scripture to support your assertions, which was certainly not something that Dr. Luther would have been found appealing. You might check on that. Anytime people are talking about subject scriptural and they don't cite Scripture, it always kind of makes me uneasy.
All right, that's a good criticism. In fact, all criticisms are welcome, but this is an especially apropos criticism. Now, let me respond in two ways. Number one, the commenter is right. If we go for an hour and don't cite Scripture on matters where Scripture speaks, we have been remiss. But let's remember that you don't have to say Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 to be citing Scripture. Sometimes you can allude to Scripture. Sometimes you can merely quote Scripture. And sometimes when people say you didn't cite any Scripture, what they mean is you didn't say Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Well, we may have quoted Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, maybe even verbatim without saying where it comes from. But you're right. When you're communicating in the public square, you got to make it very clear who you're quoting, where you're quoting, and where you're getting all your stuff. And just because someone doesn't quote Scripture doesn't mean that what they're saying isn't scriptural. But I do take his criticism here to heart very seriously.
But, you know, Jack Van Impe, nobody can, like, throw out chapter and verse like he can. But most of what he says is wrong.
Right. So that kind of expanding on what I said before. The measure of truth is not whether or not someone is quoting Bible passages. The measure of truth is whether or not someone is rightly interpreting those Bible passages. After all, the devil quotes Bible passages to Jesus during his temptation in the wilderness, and he does not misquote the verses, but he certainly misinterprets them. But we'll try our very best, I assure you, to give chapter and verse. It's important to do it.
I've listened to Issues, Etc., and the programming of KFUO for the past several years, and I believe that it's an effective fulfillment of Matthew 28. Where Christ emphasizes that the church is to not only baptize, but to teach all nations. My personal experience is that my Christian faith has been strengthened and my ability to intelligently converse with people on theological topics has been greatly improved. I'm better equipped to reveal blatant, inconsistent, and illogical reasoning that which permeates the society around me more than at any other time in my life. Through the medium of interviewing trained Lutheran and Reformation theologians, all the listeners are provided excellent instructions, which in earlier generations had been largely denied an average lay person. This is Frank Marin in Las Vegas, Nevada.
All right, Frank, thank you very much. Thanks for listening out there in Vegas. I couldn't help but think of equipping the priesthood of all believers, another one of our taglines here. And behind the microphone, behind closed doors, we talk about listeners and guests that get it and those that don't. We spend a lot more time talking about those that get it And Frank gets it. What this is about is equipping the priesthood of all believers, and that there has been a dearth of teaching to lay people. You know, one of the first things that was the first criticisms that was ever leveled at the idea, not the show, the idea of issues, etc. Even before it actually occurred and came into being, you know what the first criticism was? I think it was intended to shut the whole thing down before it started. You can't teach lay people theology. First criticism. How many years? 12 years now of the national show and of the weekday program teaching lay people theology. How many years, Jeff? 15, right? 15 years of teaching lay people theology. I think it can be done. I think you can teach lay people theology. And the church is always, always better and stronger when it's when the priesthood of all believers are well equipped with the Word of God. They're always prepared against false shepherds, false teaching, or just the regular emergencies of life.
Hi, this is John B. Williams from Topeka, Kansas. I wanted to say that on the topic of old earth creation, in a recent episode in March, you referred to it as a synonym for theistic evolution, and I just want to say I disagree with that. I am a Missouri Synod Lutheran, but I don't believe that it is a synonym for theistic evolution. Let me say straight up front that there is no such thing as evolution in the macro sense, that all creatures on the earth were created by direct divine commandment. However, I think that there are a number of problems with a literal 24 solar day creation scheme that I don't find the arguments for persuasive. However, I don't believe at the same time that there is any such thing as any evolution. I think that death came into the world through sin, and that's death to humans, because death for non-human creatures had to be occurring before the fall because Adam and Eve were eating. And I'd be interested in hearing your comments on that.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay, so that there's a good comment from a listener where... Now, let me respond this way. First of all, when we talk about theistic evolution, we're talking about theistic evolution. Old Earth creationism, generally speaking, when you scratch the surface, is theistic evolution. I'm talking about going to the websites that push an Old Earth quote-unquote creationism. You'll discover that in one form or another, they get evolution in the back door. But that's not my biggest objection to them. My biggest objection is not... how long were the days of the 6 days creation? My biggest objection, and the caller very aptly raised it, is that whether it's theistic evolution or old earth creationism, if death entered the world before sin, we have a serious problem at the cross. A serious problem at the cross. If death were in existence before sin, then Jesus paying for sins doesn't take care of death. It's that simple. Doesn't solve the death problem. The wages of sin is death. And death is not the wages of anything else. So, now I know that there are people who, and I think the commenter probably is a pretty rare bird saying, I don't buy evolution, but I have a problem with 24-hour solar days for the creation of the world. I don't know what your problems are. He said he didn't find the arguments persuasive. What, the arguments of Genesis chapters 1 and 2? I'm not interested in arguments for a six-day creation. That's what the text says. The arguments are against that text. The only people arguing are the people who are arguing against what the text clearly says. Genesis doesn't argue a thing. It simply asserts that it happened 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 days. And it's not just Genesis 1 and 2 that assert that. God later, when he gives that commandment on the Sabbath, remember, he asserts the same thing. 6 days... seventh day. Those aren't arguments, those are assertions. The only people arguing are the people arguing against Genesis 1 and 2. You're never in a good position as a Christian arguing against the clear and plain, or trying to explain away the clear and plain words of Scripture. It's not a good rule.
Let me play devil's advocate from John.
Yeah.
Okay, he talks about the issue of death. He says, no, he's talking about humans didn't die. So he might say, well, did Christ die for animals? You understand what I'm getting at?
No, you're going to have to explain.
Well, you're saying death came. He said that death, the death that you're referring to, is only animals.
Okay, I see.
And
what
so
you're
he
saying.
Might say, you know, she said, what good did Christ do? If
he took care of human death, but
yeah,
not
he took care of human death, but well, the problem might say Christ didn't die for animals.
All right, let me respond. The problem with that argument is it runs counter to what Paul says about death in Romans, where he says death entered the world, not humankind, not mankind. Death entered the world through one man. And that after death entered the world through Adam, all of creation was then subjected to the futility of death. The way Paul describes it is that you've got sin and then the death of Adam and Eve that follow as a consequence of their sin. And through Adam, all of creation is subjected to death. Now, the way the old earth creationists might want to put it is all the earth is subjected to death, then Adam sins, and then he's subjected to death. First of all, it's not the order in which things occur in Genesis, and it's certainly not the way that Paul reads Genesis either. See, here's the problem. You start fiddling with one piece of scripture, and it's like a spider web. You find yourself inevitably having to fiddle and explain away other pieces of scripture. I still don't see what the big problem is with 6 days of creation. If God can raise his son out of the tomb after 3 days of death, I think he could probably call into existence everything there is in 6 days. It just doesn't seem to be that big of a problem for God. We're listening to some comments from last week on our Issues Etc. listener comment line. I'm Todd Wilkin. In about 10 minutes, we're going to pick up our conversation with Dr. Richard Iyer, where we left off yesterday, part three of a four-part series on marriage. Today, we'll talk about connections in marriage. He's authored our Issues Etc. book of the month for April, Marriage is Like Dancing. Here's another comment.
Hi, Todd. This is Jeff Morrison. I'm calling from Seattle, Washington area. Just wanted to call and tell you how much I thoroughly enjoyed your article, The Laws, Accusations, in the recent journal, Issues, etc., and how much it meant to me. I mean, it was very excellent. And I'm familiar with CFW Walther's book, and being a Calvinist, there are some things, of course, where I probably would have differences of opinion. However, I really do appreciate the clear distinction between law and gospel that you individuals promote, and it's the gospel. So keep up the good work, and hope to get more information on that. Thank you very much. You have a good day. Lord bless you and your family. Bye.
Another non-Lutheran listener, and did you notice this, at least the way the comments are trending, and this is actually kind of a rule we've noted over the years of doing this program, it's the non-Lutherans who call in and say, boy, we really agree with you, we love your theology. It's the Lutherans who call in and say, I'm a lifelong Lutheran, but, and then disagree with us. Make of that what you will. Well, he's commenting on the Issues Etc. journal, and that's fair game, too. If you want to comment on something you've read in the Issues Etc. journal, feel free to do that on our Issues Etc. listener comment line. I think he was talking about the Laws, Accusations was the latest article that I had written for the journal. Gotten a lot of good response to that. And I'm surprised that I usually get negative and positive response to the journal articles, people who disagree and agree. I haven't got a lot of negative response there, and I'm not exactly sure why. Let's listen to another comment from our Issues Etc. comment line. The comment line is 314-505-7825, 314-505-7825. You can call it 24 hours a day and either leave a comment anonymously or by your name. And if you want to leave it anonymously, that's fine. People do. If you want to leave your name, that's fine. People do. But you can agree, disagree, correct us, whatever you want.
Hello. Yes, I would just like to let you know that I thank God every day for Issues, etc. I listen on the radio, on the internet, actually, and all the different programs and the topics that are given there. My own spiritual journey has been one of tempest tossed. I've been to different churches to find the truth of the scriptures. I've been through Anglicanism, Methodist, the whole gamut of Christian denominations, and through the issues, etc., I have finally found some truth. And I'd just like to call and thank God for your ministry, and I do wish you well and God's blessings upon the ministry, for truly it is a blessing in my life. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Another non-Lutheran listener who is gone his way through his spiritual journey and greatly appreciates issues, etc. We always are thankful to hear that kind of stuff. That's very nice. There are many days when you come into work and you wonder whether or not it's doing any good or whether it's worth it, and those things do honestly make it worth it. We're not only interested in the favorable comments, we are interested in the critical comments too. Now, if you're like that last listener in his comment, and you greatly value the Christ-centered, cross-focused programming of not only Issues, etc., but AM850KFUO. Share-a-thon is coming up tomorrow, Friday, and Saturday. That's tomorrow, Friday, and Saturday. It's the AM850KFUO Share-a-thon 2007. It's your opportunity to express in a concrete way your appreciation for the Christ-centered, cross-focused programming that we have here at AM850KFUO. And it's your opportunity to participate by giving us a call for in Share-a-thon and supporting this gospel outreach. The numbers, write them down so you can use them in the next 3 days. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. It's Share-a-thon 2007, starting tomorrow, running through Saturday here on AM850KFUO. By the way, you can tune in tonight at 7. We're going to be rebroadcasting our hour-long conversation with Dr. Martin Noland on the papacy, Sunday night on Issues, etc. One of your favorite guests, I know he is, Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, on the teaching of original sin. I think it's Rod who has said that before people get the doctrine of justification wrong, they go wrong on original sin first. It's kind of the trigger point for going wrong on the teaching upon which the church stands or falls, the justification of the sinner by grace alone, through faith alone, for Christ's sake alone. If you don't rightly define the sinner, if you don't understand who the sinner is, then everything else is going to go off track. So we'll be talking Sunday night on 91.5 FM here in St. Louis, starting at from 10 to 11, or from 9 to 11, live on the internet as well, with Dr. Rod Rosenblatt on original sin. Issues, etc., is brought to you in part by LCMS World Relief. It's an international relief agency that is concerned with both body and soul. Find out more about Pastor Matt Harrison and LCMS World Relief by either calling 1-888-930-4438, 1-888-930-4438, or by going to our website. The address is issuesetc.org. Scroll down on our homepage, and you'll find a picture of Pastor Matt Harrison and LCMS World Relief, links to everything you need to know about what they're doing all over the world, caring for both body and soul in a Christ-centered, cross-focused way. Our website address again, issuesetc.org. When we come back, Dr. Richard Iyer will be our guest. We'll get part three of our four-part series with him under our belt, talking about connections in marriage.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
There's no shortage of marriage books on the Christian bookshelves. The problem is many of them provide nothing more than moral principles for improving your marriage. In this way, these Christian books on marriage are little better than the secular books on marriage. Marriage is Like Dancing is the Issues, Etc. book of the month for April. And this marriage book is different. This marriage book is Christ-centered, cross-focused. You can find Marriage is Like Dancing at either of Concordia Publishing House's two locations in the St. Louis area, 3558 South Jefferson in the city.